Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of Gin Talks. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And today's podcast is going to be titled A Letter to the Next Generation. I'm going to let Katie explain because this kind of manifested with something she did this weekend.
Okay, this weekend I had the opportunity to lead a breakout session called College Prep. And it was really just to kind of share, you know, those last minute things to put in their suitcases, and the analogy I used, and it's actually from John Croyle with Big Oak Ranch. But, and so I really, in writing it, as God was writing it on my heart, it was a reminder of all the things that He's teaching me, has taught me, teaching me afresh. And so I wanted to write it all out in a place that it would be forever. And so that's what we get to talk about today.
Yay.
And the speaker for this weekend, it was a girls' retreat, was Mo Isom. And she is a former soccer player with the Louisiana State Tigers. And she holds the LSU all-time school record in women's soccer. But she has a beautiful testimony, and she was very inspiring and just talked about the God that knows us.
Yeah.
And that He knows everything and loves us, and the girls were just, and the moms, some moms came too.
Okay.
Were extremely inspired and touched and challenged, and it was great.
And it was called Known?
It was called Known.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So just kind of to let this next generation know, no matter what steps they're taking, they're known, they're loved.
Yes, and that as they move, that God will continue to talk to them and show them the next step to take.
And I think that's really, really important. It's now more than ever, with this next generation coming up. I feel like they have a lot of pressure in 7,000 different areas.
They do.
You know, not to talk about the election a lot, but from that, but then there's social media, and then there's these expectations, and I just think that it's important to really, really nurture these younger people. You know, even the generation younger than me. These high school and college students.
Absolutely.
Because they are the next generation, you know?
One of the best things anyone ever told me was, like, we should always, and they used biblical people, but said we should always have a Paul and a Timothy and a Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul poured into Timothy, and Barnabas encouraged Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just, in our lives, there should always be, we should have a mentor, but there should be someone coming up behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're responsible for is we just share the measure of faith that we have in the moment.
That's good.
And I know. I was like, oh, that's so good.
That's so good, yeah.
And I find that women have it much more often than men do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, men are less likely to ask for help or to seek out mentors or,
yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, they're holding their families up, but they desperately need it.
Yeah, no, I totally
agree. A place to be
agree.
Vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, okay, but I want the beginning of it. It said, "You have had a suitcase on your bed since the day you were born. It has been slowly closing as you approach this day. Along the way, for the past 16, 17, 18 years, your parents, teachers, friends, mentors, coaches, authors, musicians, movie makers, a host of acquaintances, and even strangers have been putting things into your suitcase."
Oh, that's good.
So I took this opportunity to just stuff my stuff in the corners of their suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, a lot of what I'm putting in there, you probably already have, but it's stuff we can have in excess. And again, the whole suitcase analogy was from John Croyle, who started Big Oak Ranch, which is a children's home. And I love that analogy. I used kind of a letter format because the epistles in the Bible, like, had the introduction and they had the body of it and then they had a conclusion. And I loved the beginning of Titus, and it said, I inserted my name, so I want you to insert your name, but I said, "I, Katie, am God's slave and Christ's agent for promoting the faith. My aim is to raise hopes by pointing the way to life without end. This is the life God promised long ago, and He doesn't break promises. And then when the time was ripe, He went public with this truth. I've been entrusted to proclaim this message by order of the Savior, God Himself. Next generation, receive everything God our Father and Jesus our Savior gives you." And that was the Message translation.
Aww.
Of that introduction of
mm-hmm.
the epistle. And I love how it's
That's
written
beautiful.
So conversational.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first thing on the list was, look to God to change the man in the mirror before pointing fingers at someone else.
I like that. I like that that's how you started it to that next generation, because I feel like most of the time when we're trying to encourage them and love on them, we focus on letting them know, which is great, but how wonderful and beautiful they are. But it's really important to begin that with, you are beautiful, but so is the person that you might be on your finger to. Yeah.
And the minute they start pointing fingers or justifying, that we have missed the mark.
Well, and it just spirals. I mean, once you point your finger to one person, then you're going to do it to another and another, and then they're going to do it to you. And it just becomes, I mean, like a tornado effect. And I think everyone's been there at some point, especially as a young girl. I know that happened to me. It was, you know, well, so-and-so did this, but then so-and-so saying something about me, and it's just...
And really receiving constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Where instead of your first response being, but they, well, they do this. I mean, my kids do that.
Yeah.
I have done that.
Yeah.
When my husband and I are talking, there's times I've caught myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I will just hold my tongue and count,
yeah,
I'll usually catch myself before it comes out.
Yeah.
I gave Michael Jackson a big thank you for that one. the lyrics to Man in the Mirror was just a revolutionary song.
Well, I think that, I mean, I think millennials, you know, my generation, we get bashed a lot, and we have recently during the election, and there are, of course, things we do wrong, but there are a lot of things we do right.
Absolutely.
And I think that one big thing people say about us is that we do that. We can't, I think people say that millennials cannot accept constructive criticism, and that we're constantly coming up with excuses, and we think we should be given everything. And
as with any blanket statement for groups of people,
yeah,
I'm like, there are pockets of people
right.
that make excuses in every generation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
One generation,
all women, all millennials, all baby boomers. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop doing that.
Yeah, because
and generalizing like that.
Because there are people, like you said, there are people in every group that they aren't doing that.
Absolutely.
And there are people, I mean, I know I've been there and said, oh, but this, and try to defend myself, when in reality it is important to just take that criticism and count and think about it and then apply it.
Right.
Because you're going to look back and think, okay, that was actually very helpful. Even when they're not doing it in a loving way.
And looking at the man in the mirror and seeing, even if you still don't agree with someone that's
mm-hmm.
disagreeing with you, by looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you might see, okay, I still have it right.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I don't need to prove myself.
Right.
Or I can still listen to him and we can agree to disagree. There's always a respectful way to handle it.
Yeah, I think that's a big problem too, is everyone wants their opinion to be heard. And it's fine to have an opinion, and it's fine to voice your opinion. I mean, I voice my opinion.
It's freedom of speech.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think we have to remember that is the worldly standpoint, and God calls us sometimes to just hold
to
our
quiet.
Tongue and yeah, and just be quiet.
And it is one of those things where He's like, I didn't give you a formula, so you would ask me every time.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay,
that's good.
So how do I know?
You have to ask Him every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One time we were at a local high school and we would go eat lunch, and we were talking to the girls at the table about pausing and pondering and mm-hmm. praying, and to count to 10 before you respond to mm-hmm. anything. And all of a sudden it went quiet, and I'm sitting there, and she goes, she was counting to 10.
Before she
goes,
said anything.
She goes, I was doing what you said. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. And I said, the silence was grueling.
Yeah.
And she goes, I know. And I was like, you know, it is. We have to remember, we are not used to having
silence.
Pauses.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm bad. That is one of my big weaknesses. I hate silence. So I just fill it with whatever. And then I'm like, yes.
Me too.
And then I'm like, oh. I have always envied those people. I feel like I talk about this in every podcast, because they're all kinds of cons take, you know, are needed for the world to go around.
My husband's very slow.
See, talker. And my fiance is. He pauses and he's quiet. So when he's quiet, I'm talking. But I've always envied those people who are just
me too.
Silent. And then what they say is like, oh, great.
Profound.
Yeah.
They just
that's never been me.
Tweetables.
Yeah.
Everything
tweetables.
Rolls off their tongue.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one.
Okay.
Choose developing your character over preserving your comfort. And this one I went on to say, remember the Good Samaritan and don't ask what will happen to you if you stop to help. Instead, ask what will happen to them if you don't. They talked about that in church recently.
When was that?
It was not this week, but the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was good.
We're not going to arrive at the grave alive. That's
yeah.
why we're at the grave.
Yeah.
And our goal, we've been taught, is to be safe and comfortable. That mm-hmm. is the motivation. And I don't believe that was ever meant to be mm-hmm. the mission. And so to really think about, we have to take responsibility for developing our own our character mm-hmm. and not just protect our comfort.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think again, these younger generations, including mine, I think a lot of times we can fall into that because the most of us, again, that's a blanket statement, but have had comfortable lives. I mean, I think my parents did a really good job of, they let me be comfortable, but they also showed me, well, there's times when you have to step out of your comfort zone, do the right thing, say the right thing, work hard, you know, and that's a big part of developing your character. You can't just stay in the same spot forever.
I mean, as a parent, one of the worst things that we could do is to be snowplow parents, mm-hmm. which is to shovel out of the way yep. every obstacle that they're going to have, or to be helicopter parents where we're on top of everything, yeah. monitoring it. Because we don't teach them how to cope or make decisions. Right. Or
And when we're young, I remember my mom, now I'm so grateful, but she would be like, well, I mean, you're going to have to deal with that, or you're going to have to handle this. And I was just always like, why are you not just dealing with this for me? And still now, jokingly, I'm like, can't you just fix this? You know? And she's like, I wish I could, but you're going to have to do it, you know? And now as I'm getting older, I'm like, okay, that helped me be who I am, because I see people my age that are just...
We have to learn how to make decisions, yeah. wise choices. Andy Stanley, and I reference him a lot in here, but he had a great sermon series years ago that I still remember, and it was making the wise choice mm-hmm. Versus making just a good choice. Mm-hmm. And the verse was, the wise see danger and seek refuge. Mm-hmm. The foolish see danger and keep going mm-hmm. and suffer for it. And I mean, it stuck with me, mm-hmm. and I would like to make wise choices.
Yeah.
okay, next two were wear sunscreen and floss.
fun fact about me is that I floss every single night.
Yes.
And I've been made fun of in college. My sorority sisters, they were like, "Why, Caitlin? Why do you floss every night?" And I was like,
"Because your teeth are not going to fall out."
Yeah, and heart disease and all those things they tell you. Yes. And it just feels better. But I get made fun of all the time because I'm like, Kaylin has a floss.
So proud of you. You keep spreading the floss word.
But anyway.
On the sunscreen front, I was a generation that used mm-hmm. baby oil and laid yes. on blankets that were made of tinfoil.
And fried.
Yes. Seriously, they advertised it.
No, I know.
And tanning beds came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we would leave red and sweaty, and I'm like, oh, how did we not put cents together?
That just recently died out. I mean, people do still do it, but when I was in college, that was when all of my friends, we still did it, and I had a little spot cut out that could have been cancerous. Never stepped foot back in a tanning bed. I'd rather be pale. I had
spots on my back that burned all the pigment out of it. Mm-hmm. You'd think I would have stopped at that point.
Yeah.
Like, they're white permanently mm-hmm. because I burned it out. Bad call on my part. Yeah. So I really would stress that they're going to, down the road, I do believe, be like, okay, those were cigarettes.
They're terrible. Yeah. I mean.
Like, how in the world could you not have known yeah. that getting in a box that baked you was not good for you? Because we look back at my mom's generation. She started smoking when she was 13.
And it was fine.
And she's like, well, we didn't know. And I'm going, how did you not know? It's a smoke stick. okay. This one was huge because I missed the boat on one of this. Was write a letter to someone in your family often.
Oh.
And I said, it can be an email or a text. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But tell them something you are learning. Ask them what they are learning. Build them up. Tell them how they can pray for you. And ask them how you can pray for them. The last communication I got from my dad before he died when I was in college was a letter. But it was a copy of the Exxon bill, and it said, help your old dad out. and I didn't talk to him again after that. Like, we yeah. were landlines, didn't have cell phones, and that's like the only letter I had in his handwriting because I was just wreaking havoc on the Exxon bill. And I look back on that, and I had a friend, and I'll never forget this. He had a post-it note in his dorm room, and it said, to write home every week. I don't know if he did it, but I noticed it.
Yeah.
And so, again, a lot of these are things that I didn't do, but I still can do. And I'm trying to capitalize on that.
Well, I love writing letters anyway. And I think people are always saying that's a lost art, you know, and it is.
It is.
So I like to write letters to my fiance. I'm kind of like coax him into writing letters to me. I'm like, oh, you should write that down and let me see it, you know. But, you know, my parents too, and my friends even, I love cards. Because even, you know, when someone passes on, or even if someone moves, to have their handwriting.
Which that eliminates your email and text there.
Yeah.
But there is something special about having.
Well, and I have some emails from a professor I was very, very close to who passed away, and I'll never delete them. And it wasn't a letter or anything, but they're emails. And I can hear him saying it when he, you know, because it's his words.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it was only an email, it's still, I can print it out, you know, and hang it up. So that's, your words are just so important.
They really are. Mm-hmm. The power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yeah.
Okay, next one was stay connected to your root system. Without roots, we will go wherever the wind blows or the rain washes.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I think mine is my faith, and yours is your faith, but people have different root systems, and not having one is a root system too.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was important. Next one's very simple. Don't worry, do pray.
That's good. I think I could stand to read that every single day.
Me too. And one of the ladies at the breakout sessions, she had one for the parent, for the moms, and it was when to know when to worry. And what they ended up finding out, of course, was we should never worry.
Yeah.
So everybody was like, oh gosh, okay, I need to know when I should.
Yeah.
Like, we really should never know. I think we've talked about this before, but it was pay attention to your feelings. Stuffing them or ignoring them does not work. Feelings are excellent indicators of an underlying belief, but they are not destiny dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel we're moving past it, but I feel like there was an era where everyone was like, get over it. I mean, suck it up. Put your feelings to the side. Don't be so mushy. I mean, it is not, people walk around, their feelings are on their sleeve, and I'm going, we have feelings for our reason.
Yeah.
And
God gave us those emotions.
They are huge indicators.
And I think it's important, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, we hear all the time, don't go off of your emotions solely.
Right.
Which is very important. But that doesn't mean don't have them at all, you know.
Because that doesn't work.
No, that means you're numb and you're not, you know. And we both talk about this because we like love really big. And I've always been like, oh no, I shouldn't do that because then I'm like crazy or I'm too much or whatever, you know, especially with when I was in college with dating, it was like, oh, well, if I love you, I'm really going to love you. I'm going to tell you. And I saw it because I was made to feel like you are a lunatic. But in reality, that's how I love my fiance now. And I just needed the one to love me back, you know?
And that's right. That I'm finding is that there's things that about me that would probably bug this knot out of someone.
Oh, yeah.
But they are precious to Jay.
Yeah, exactly.
And so everybody has their gold that is for them.
And it is really, truly, like, I think about it almost every single day. Like, that's amazing that I have changed, of course, but the same things I did and said and the way I acted that made me feel like just worthless and weird and crazy are what make me feel beautiful to him. And it's like, wow. That is one big thing I want every younger girl and boy. And my little brother is 13, and I just want to tell them, don't change those unique things about you because someone was made to love them.
Absolutely.
And God already does. And that, I think that's hard to really understand, and I didn't, and until it was manifested into a person that's my soulmate, you know? And sometimes it takes that, and God is like, here, this is how I love you in the flesh. Now do you see it? And it's like, oh.
As a mom, and we really need to nurture that in our boys.
Mm-hmm.
Because boys especially are not taught or really modeled for to walk out compassion and be sensitive. They are told to always only have on their face, their confident face there. And there's a lot of creative, compassionate boys out there that are not the other, and they're awesome. And they are not less than. And thank God we have them in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And to build the boys up.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
I think we forget about that.
Right. Don't stuff your emotions. I mean, don't let them lead. And they really are better at not letting their emotions lead.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful. You know, women
Thank
are
goodness
not.
They ground us.
And we might have. There is a medical reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a neurologist talk about men's brains actually had a thicker wall, I'm probably going to butcher this, around their, than women. And the point being goes all the way back to hunting and gathering.
Okay.
That they needed to be able to compartmentalize to function in their role. And women's was, it was thinner because they actually needed to be able to multitask and emotionally carry all sides.
Yeah.
And so we are literally physically designed differently for a reason. And I thought that was really cool.
That is really
cool. Science just totally, or we catch up with what God has already said.
Yep, yep.
Okay. This one was, be courageous and brave, confident in the one who crafted you, not arrogant in your own abilities. Remember those capabilities are gifts. They have been given to you to be used by, for God's kingdom, not the kingdom of me. And I thanked Rod Stewart and Kay Warren for those. Have you ever heard Forever Young by Rod Stewart?
Yep.
That was the Be Courageous and Brave, like I can hear in my head. And Kay Warren is Rick Warren's wife, and she wrote a book where she referenced the kingdom of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was such a good analogy. How we're not
good.
Supposed to live for the kingdom of me.
Right.
That's what we see a lot.
A lot, yeah.
We saw a lot in the political season.
Oh, yeah.
Of the kingdom of me.
Oh, yeah. And not just from the candidates.
From all
from
sides.
Everyone.
From everyone was losing their mind. The kingdom of me.
It was me,
kingdom of me. Okay, this one was so good. And again, I'm a hodgepodge of all the people and places that have poured into me. But give a piece of your heart before you give a piece of your mind.
Oh, that's good.
A quote to remember that no one cares how much you know until you show them, don't tell them how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was significant. The things that I have learned the most have been the people that have been vulnerable with me and not pointed a finger at me. We don't, behaviors don't change from a scolding.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't. Hug a lot and often. The one you want to hug the least is the one that needs it the most. Learn to dance. It's risky and awkward at times, but worth it. Says the one who does not dance. But I say that because I'm going to dance. Learn another language. It tells the culture that you care what they have to say.
That's good.
It's challenging, it's selfless, and it takes down a dividing line. That is good. I do not know another language.
I don't either, not
Spanish,
fluently.
But
me too.
It's not too late.
Yeah.
These are, I was like, I can still learn another language.
I met a girl when I was in Portugal. She was from Lebanon. She knew so many different languages. And she recommended finding someone in your community who, you know, if I wanted to learn Italian, someone from Italy, to just sit down and have coffee with them once a week. And instead of learning on like a tape or something, you teach them English and they teach you Italian. And we had a program like that in college. I never took advantage of it.
Was it Rosetta Stone?
No, it's just
It's like language immersion where you just spend time with
we
someone.
We had like
whatever,
you know, foreign exchange, like buddies or whatever in college. But it's the same thing. And I'm not sure how you do that in now. Like now that I'm...
I don't either.
But that's a good idea.
That's a great
Maybe we should
idea.
Do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's,
you're hearing
let's
it here first.
Yeah. Here. Yes. We should have language buddies because America is known, like on the, you know, we're the all-inclusive scale for not being the best at learning the other
languages. Well, I just said this to you when I was in Portugal that, I mean, most people I talked to knew English and it's because...
And probably another language too.
And another language because they want to be able to talk to us when we come visit and when they come visit. And
which shows they care what
you
had
I felt
to say.
So careless and like... I don't know. I just, because I knew how to say thank you. So I was just like, obrigado, every time, you know, and they were probably like, okay, like you didn't really take the time to learn our language.
I really, though, believe that every little step, though, that shows that you at least are trying, I think it matters. I know it does when people do that in my life.
Yes.
That they're trying to relate to something.
To say even that one little thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what's our time frame?
We have about 6 minutes left.
6 minutes. Okay. Some of these we've talked about, so I'm going to skip over them because we've already, I said celebrate diversity and participate in preserving it.
Okay,
songs have countless melodies and harmonies, paintings are infused with infinite color, and dances are dabbed with millions of moves.
She just dabbed. I wish you could have seen her dab.
It was bad.
That was good.
differences are designed to add beauty and depth, not division. I don't know if we had talked about just our heart for... on the podcast about diversity.
I don't think that we really is something have.
That really mm-hmm. we need to keep it so yeah. bad. Like yeah. it was the grand design, and we need to be active participants.
We do.
And celebrating and preserving mm-hmm. it. Live truth and love before you speak truth and love.
Yeah.
Actions speak louder than words, and they should come first. Mm-hmm. Shame is not from God.
No, that's, I think, I can't, like, say that enough to every generation. Shame is never from God.
I looked at the girl sitting at the table, and I said, okay, I'm looking at you as a mama, but I believe this is the heartbeat of God. And I said, if anyone says shame on you, you have my permission to say no.
No. Yeah, no.
But I said, when you are guilty, own it. Say mm-hmm. you're sorry and don't do it again.
Yep.
Shame attacks our identity, whereas guilt addresses our actions.
Yeah.
And well, I guilt think Brene changes Brown you. In here all over the place yeah. for her.
And we may have talked about that before. Actually, maybe
last week, I think, with the Rising Strong. Yeah. And there's a lot in here that I used from that.
Yeah.
Okay, Glennon Doyle Melton, another mm-hmm. one of my favorite authors, but she said, assume everyone is acting out of love or a call for love.
Yes.
And that was revolutionary when I
first... Okay, they said that in that... I think I said that in the last podcast from Soul Chat. It's either a call for... It is either love or a call for love.
Okay, they might have quoted her too.
I didn't know it came from Glennon. Okay.
Yes, because it really was... it helps us forfeit our right to be offended yes. and capitalize on our opportunities to extend grace. It changed my filter. Now it's
me
not,
too.
I mean, I still get offended, but I'm trying to recognize it.
You have to remember it's not about you.
No.
Yeah.
Complacency and complicity are two sides of the same coin. I pray you never have it in your pocket. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know complicity was a word, but it is.
I'm not going to lie. When you just said it, I was like,
Okay. Being and I had to look because I knew complacency. Right. So I was like, to be complicit would be to be active in the crime or the sin, like you're the one who murdered.
Okay.
Complacent would be you watched it and did nothing.
Okay.
So complacency, the alternative is complicity.
But they're one and the same is what you're saying.
They yeah. are, you know, you're both participating.
You're both,
You did nothing and watched it and you actively did it.
Right.
You're both part of it.
Well, I think that really plays in on a smaller scale too. If you know your best friend is consistently living a sin, then that's we're being complacent and not saying to her.
And the key to sharing is that we don't have a right until we're in a relationship to ever share.
Yeah.
I mean, relationship is what sets the groundwork
for you to
have
the
hard conversations
that.
Because mm-hmm. you don't trust somebody yet with mm-hmm. your hard stuff.
So you can't just go up to someone you don't know.
No, I saw you do that. That's finger pointing.
Right.
That is not what Jesus did.
No.
And he truly is my role model. And mm-hmm. Recently, I heard somebody else say, I think it was Glennon, but like media Jesus
yeah.
is not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
At all. And
no.
like if you really get to know that Jesus, the one that got down on the ground with the adulterous woman mm-hmm. and all the accusers left, and he didn't point her sin out to her. Mm-hmm. She knew what her sin was.
Yeah.
She had the whole,
she
was told inside. Mm-hmm. She knew exactly what she was doing mm-hmm. wrong. Jesus, the only one that had the right to say, this is what you were doing wrong, he didn't even say that.
Yeah.
He just said, go sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it to all of us every single day.
Yeah.
Baby, go sin no more.
Yeah.
And he's a sweet face, like a nice face,
mm-hmm.
not a mean face. And so, like, if anyone ever came to me and said, well, do you think that my lifestyle's sinful? Do you think? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what I think.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying to you, like he's saying to me, baby, I love you. Go sin no mm-hmm. more. So, you know, my Holy Spirit talking to me doesn't make me any better. He can talk to you and will talk to you about your stuff as much as he talks to me about my stuff. So let's just walk beside each other and he'll talk to us about our stuff.
That's such a good point. And especially, I wish I would have known that in college. Like, let's walk beside each other.
Yeah,
I'm not better than you, but you're also not better than me. And we're both going to
mess
up. We're just a mess. So
and
let's
we're
just...
going to have some areas of victory that we never stumble in again. We're going to have some that we are like a roller coaster.
And we have different areas of those so
yes.
we can help each other.
Absolutely.
And that's once you really realize that, it's like the most powerful thing you can have in a relationship with anybody.
And we don't look at anybody anymore.
No.
Like, it really helps us get over that log.
Yeah.
The plane.
Yep.
Okay, last one, and we'll stop there, and we'll do our lightning
round.
Okay,
perfect.
Okay, everyone should know where this comes from. You is smart, you is kind, and you is important. And that goes to everyone
listening.
You is smart,
you is
kind,
you is
and
important.
You is important. Catherine Stockett, we love you, and we love the help. Okay, what are our questions? I'm going to let you ask
yes,
today.
Yes, okay. They were.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. Number one. Number one was, what was your favorite toy growing up?
Favorite toy was Barbie head. I cut her hair.
Oh, I had one of those.
Barbie head, shot like with the shoulders, just kind of like the head.
It freaked my friends out. My best friend, Jerry. It's a bit scary. If she listens to this, she's like, I remember that night. Had a sleepover and she was like, can you move that Barbie? And I was like, I just like play. But yeah, Barbie head.
Barbie head was my favorite. What was yours?
So I have a teddy bear. I got it. My mom, the company she worked for, her work party. I was 2 years old. And all the kids got to go up and get something out of Santa's bag. It was a teddy bear, and I named him Curly, which is funny because now I have really curly hair, it turned out. But you know, prophetic bears. I know, right? But the teddy bear, you know the ones that they have like the curly looking little fur.
Yes.
He is like matted now, but
he's matted from your love.
Yes, I've had him. He's sitting on my bed, and I'll never get rid of him. And we went on family vacation when I was little, and me and my brother got in a fight and ripped him. But my Gigi sewed him up and made him a t-shirt. So he has a little t-shirt. And we'll talk about sewing things up
another time. That's good.
Yes, yes.
Okay, next one.
The next one was, and I'm doing these probably like in out of order, but.
No, we're trying to stick to the relational, the cultural, and the spiritual.
Yes, like, so that was cultural.
That was cultural.
Relational. Who,
those toys are deep. Right? Deep cultural questions.
Who did you want to be when you grew up?
Can you go first on that one?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Man, my mom has always been my role model. She was young when she had me, and she always jokes and says we grew up together, because we did. I mean, she grew up while I was growing up, too. So she was always my role model. And then my Gigi has been a big role model for me, and that's my dad's mom. So two really strong women in my life that I wanted to grow up to be like.
Okay. Mine would have to be Aunt Lita. Mm-hmm. Aunt Lita was my other mother, and she, not that I wouldn't have picked my mom too, because I was one of those blessed with, like, where one would have a lack, the other one filled it. So I had two mamas.
Yeah.
Because God knew I needed two moms. But Aunt Lita, she was the constant, she was patience. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, she was unconditional love. In a nutshell, if I was going to write a book and have a fictional character that represented Jesus, it would be Aunt Lita.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
That's good. The last one was, what friend, or it can be family, but do you think of, when you think of someone who was drastically changed by Jesus and just, you know, you saw it firsthand, they left one life and went to another.
Okay. Real quick, back to Aunt Lita. I want to tell you her real name. Her name is Olita Irby.
Yeah.
And Memphis, Tennessee is her home. Mm-hmm. And she's delightful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. My friend was, she always lived it out, was Joan. And she was just the one that lived it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a whole lot of, and it gave me hope.
Yeah.
There were times that I didn't appreciate it near as much as I should because mm-hmm. I wasn't walking so good.
Right.
But she always did. And by watching her walk, it showed me it was possible.
Yeah, that's good.
And she's a phenomenal mother now and just a great friend and has a heart for the nations. And she's still walking with Jesus and it's more exciting than ever. And I'm very thankful that I had her.
And what was her name again?
Joan.
Joan.
Yes.
I'll say two names. I'll make them quick. But my old roommate, and you know her, Sarah Gibson, we were in college together, and we were not friends. We were in different sororities. It's funny now. But to see her walk with Jesus now, I mean, you can definitely tell that she died to that old self and lives for Jesus now. Met a great man, got married, and, you know, it's been really cool to watch her. Because it's like two, I tell her, I'm like, it's like I knew two different people. And that's how it should be, you know?
He really does bring the dead to life.
He does.
He doesn't make a better version of us. No. He makes us totally new.
New, yeah. And then one other girl I was in college with, and she was always like my angel. On my worst days when I just felt like everyone in the world hated me and everyone made me feel terrible, she never judged, never condemned. She just loves everybody. Her name is Meg Kellenberger. She has a twin who was in a wheelchair, and I've never met two more wonderful people, but she was, you know, my sorority sister, and she's just beautiful inside and out. So I've seen her live it, and I think sometimes people have that change at an early age, and it's like they just live it forever. And she's like that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty
And then
cool.
the ones later in life that do it. My friend Leanne, she was my later in life mm-hmm. one because she was a totally new creation. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that this encourages you. If you have these people, think about it and tell them. Tell them thank you.
Them.
I don't want everything that I do to be like in memory of someone. Like,
no.
After, you know, I would like to remember to tell them while they're now. Still here and express my gratitude, because I heard today that gratitude that is not expressed is ingratitude.
Yeah,
is,
that's
is
really
the
good.
Way that it lands. It doesn't matter how grateful we are in our heart. If we don't express it, it's taken by someone as ingratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So show it, get creative showing it, find those people in your life and
let
tell them,
know.
Today. Yeah.
Well, this
Peace
was good.
Out. We love
y'all. This letter
y'all.
To the next generation is really a letter to everybody. Everybody can use this.
And we might pick up in the middle of this because there's more.
There's more.
And really, my on my blog is where it's all written out, which mm-hmm. is Psalm8110.com.
Yeah, go check it out.
And and add to it, because I put at the end, I really want to know other people's nuggets mm-hmm. of truth and maybe what's touched them and changed them. Hope we added value
yes.
to your world. Not because of us, but because of Jesus.
Because of Jesus. Have a great day, great night, whenever you're listening to this. Again, episode 4, A Letter to the Next Generation, and stay tuned for episode 5.
We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.